And now, Mr. B. Elliott and Mr. R. Goulding present the CBS Radio Network.
What were you saying?
Well, I say, I was talking with Goulding this morning, and they said that if I came by when you went on the air, he'd say all right.
Well, maybe I don't know. He didn't say anything to me, Elliot, about it. Goulding?
What?
This lady says you told her to drop by here today. You remember her?
I can't.
Where did he tell you that, ma'am?
Well, I was up here right after you signed off yesterday. I was helping out.
Yeah, but,
I was helping the audience out.
Well, what's the reason for you to want to be on the show, anyway?
Well, I always wanted to be on the radio, and I told him I had had some acting experience, and he said if I'd come back tomorrow. He seemed in a rush.
Mrs. Goulding said this.
That fellow there.
Yeah.
Well, I won't deny it, but,
You've forgotten it, huh?
Yeah, I can't remember it. And I don't see any call in the script at all anywhere. Do you?
No, I don't.
No.
There's nothing particularly
Well,
dramatic.
I'll come back again some other time.
All right, swell.
Certainly.
And thanks for helping us out.
I didn't really help you out too much, did I?
No, you didn't.
No, I guess you didn't.
Well, it's been a long time since we've called in the award-winning radio correspondent Wally Ballou.
Do you realize something I read the other day? He is now in his 23rd year of special events coverage.
Really?
He's been doing this 23 years.
23 years of covery. I mean, that's too long for one fella. I mean, to be out working that way.
It almost makes him the dean of special events reporters.
Well, let me see. I think it makes Bob Trout look like a journeyman. I'll put it that way. In all those years. In any event, Wally Ballou is standing by somewhere, and I'm going to call him in now. You can probably hear some of the talkback in my earphones as we're making contact with our engineer, with Wally. So, come in, please. Wally Ballou.
Radio's Wally Ballou, now in my 24th year of special events coverage, just speaking to you from the third-party favor company and learning something
Ready,
about what's new.
Excuse me, Mr.
Ballou. I'm just signing the program on, Mr. Harrison.
All right, I was going to ask you, 24 years, it makes Bob Trout look like a journeyman in the industry.
Well, now that you mention it, I think maybe I do have a few years on Bob. But let's not talk about me.
No, nor Bob Trout either, I suppose.
What we want to talk about is your party favors, what's new, and what makes them tick, and how they're selling.
Well, let me take
Excuse me, go ahead.
Let me take them one at a time. What was the first one there?
What's new in party favors?
Well, there isn't too much new. The only thing that I could say would be new would be the change in the dimensions of the favors themselves. They're bigger now.
They're larger, I noticed that.
In keeping with the times. We have larger homes. We have more living rooms. The dining rooms are on the generally a little larger than they used to be. And a lot of people have parties outdoors now, which, of course, gives you tremendous...
your Japanese lanterns and your outdoor-type decorations, I suppose.
Yes, and
streamers, your bunting.
Yes, and we can make it all bigger now.
How about your flame-proof serpentines?
Yes, of course, those serpentines used to be... they'd roll out like this about 14, 15 inches.
Uh-huh.
We have them now where you have to really... put a compressed air tank on them, and they'll blow out almost 35 feet.
Is that so? That certainly is along the lines of the bigger and better party favors.
Yes, yes.
Could we see a few samples of your new line?
Well, here, let me take this long roll-out party serpentine here and give you an idea.
All right. Beautiful.
That a gas? Yeah. That went 35 feet.
Certainly did. It didn't come back either. It just stayed out there, didn't it?
I might point out that some of these are so long that I would recommend only one or two at a party, and definitely outdoors, or point them towards the floor.
Uh-huh. How about rattles and ratchets? Do you have those?
They're all bigger. Here's a ratchet that I'd like to show you. There's the rattle. Here's the ratchet.
Oh, yeah.
You notice that's the size of a huge oar.
Uh-huh.
That people used to propel themselves in boats, and we've attached the ratchet. Now, you need two men for that.
Uh-huh.
One of whom should be Big Daddy Lipscomb, because it's very big and heavy.
Well, I
it's a little party favor joke.
I'd like to see some of those things that I remember.
You know
from
who he is. He plays with the Baltimore Colts.
Science.
And he's, I don't know.
I haven't been 23 years in this business for nothing, fella.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Just wind this thing up
How
to the bag.
How many years are you in anyway?
This is my 24th. But let's not talk about me.
All right.
I remember from my youth with birthday parties, those
Bob Trout
little
came
surprise
up here 3 or 4 years ago.
Let's not talk about Bob Trout either.
Did a nice job, I thought. Did a nice
he
job.
He does a fine job.
He asked very intelligent questions. He didn't come in and waste too much of my time. He was in and gone before you
well,
could
I
say...
Well, I would leave if we could just wrap this thing up somehow.
All right. Well, to end this interview, I'd like to show you the popping fortune favors which are placed at every table setting where the person will... reach in and pull this. Well, he needs the help of another man.
Right, could I try one end of this and you try the other?
All right, here we go. Pull it out. Let's see.
Right. The other end didn't go off yet. There it did.
Look at that. We forgot to even put a fortune in there.
Well, that was more or less of a dud then, I guess.
Well, no, it wasn't a dud. You heard the two caps go off.
That's
incidentally,
right.
Those caps... are not truly caps. They're the size of a 55-millimeter shell.
Thanks very much, Mr. Harrison, for talking with us today. And now, as I begin my 24th year of special events coverage...
Another one like this, you won't see the 25th.
This says Wally Ballou returning it to our main studio.
Back here in our main studios.
It's time for Celebrity Snapshot.
Gee, Wally took up... too much time.
Too much. We'll have to cut that before we put it on the air.
Much. Right.
Tonight's guest is actor Chester Mandeville.
What do you mean? Cut the voice on the air. You're on the air now. The big sign on the door says so.
Well, I
was
just
fooling. And there have been people calling or complaining about the show already, so it's on the air.
I noticed the switchboard was aglow there. Like Mr. Mandeville, could we have just a word with you, please?
Hi, I'm Bobby.
Welcome to the show, and congratulations on your latest triumph for The Romance of Helen Trent.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's not often I get to kind of fool around with a part like that.
See, you were cast as an elevator operator, I believe.
Right, I took Helen up to see somebody important.
The critics raved about the way you handled your reply to Helen when she said that elevators make her tummy feel funny.
I think it went something like, mine too, lady.
A real slice-of-life treatment. Got anything on the front burner for now, Mr. Mandible?
Well, I make a point of hearing The Romance of Helen Trent every weekday. Great show. Hope they'll write my part in again soon, because sure got a crush on that chick.
Well, good luck, Chester.
Real dish.
Thanks for appearing on Celebrity Snapshot.
My pleasure, Bobby, and bye for now.
Goodbye, sir, and thanks again.
Haven't we seen him somewhere before, Bob?
He looks a little like the fellow who runs the number 2 car in the other studio building. The elevator over there?
Well, probably they're lookalikes.
Could be.
Now then.
Now it's time to play a game. Guess my secret.
Oh, this is a fun game. Yeah.
Hi, this is Don Swarm, and there's our panel over there. The man who's just this moment finished shaking hands with our panelists is Bill Joyner, this week's guest with a secret. And panelists, if you'll all place your earplugs in your ears. Good, and sir, will you tell me what your secret is?
Well, my secret is... I wish the secret I have to tell was much longer, about a half hour longer, so we wouldn't have to listen to the people on the panel.
Well, that's not exactly a secret. That's a desire on your part.
You bet it is, buddy.
I think we better hear the secret you discussed with me before the show. Do you mind?
I'm sorry.
I see the panelists are still wearing their earplugs, so go
right
ahead.
Now, when they start to talk, can I have a set of earplugs, too? Because...
Sir, we had you flown in for the show in good faith, and I don't think you're helping...
I'm sorry, Mr.
...helping
Smart.
It along very much.
Sorry.
Now, Mr. Joyner, would you tell us the secret you had written in the letter you sent to us?
Well, I've been thinking it over, and, And you know what?
What, Mr. Joyner?
Well, just before I left Washington, the boys in the Pentagon told me I'd better not monkey around with the secret I've got. So they said I could get 20 years if I revealed it. And I think they're right. I looked it up. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, then, do you have an alternate secret, Mr. Joyner? Something that would...
I think so. Can I talk into the mic that makes your voice sound hollow? Do you have one of those microphones?
Yeah, is it an interesting secret? Is it going to be worth all this trouble?
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead, then.
I was puttering in my garden the other day.
Well, that doesn't sound too interesting, Mr. Joyner.
Let me finish. I was puttering in my garden the other day, and I was amazed to find that the garden was full of poison ivy.
Was that your secret, sir, that you have a garden full of poison ivy?
Gee, you don't let a guy finish anything,
do
you?
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can I use that mic again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, my secret is, I'll bet the panel didn't notice the poison ivy all over my fingers when I shook hands with them a few minutes ago.
Well, that's not such a great secret. They'll guess that in a second.
Well, they might not. It takes about 2 days before the itching starts.
Oh, I think you're bad clear through, Mr. Joyner.
So are you and your gang. Go on. Bob, what are you wearing that white robe for? I give you a medical look or something?
No, it's bathrobe.
Oh, it is?
I wear this when I come through the curtains after to say goodnight.
Oh, wonderful. Well, anyway, it's time to introduce Webb for just a second or so. I don't know if we have time for a book review, but let's bring him on.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our literary editor, Mr. Webley Webster. Let's hear it for him.
Hey!
Hi,
what the? What kind of music is this? Who do you think I am? Clem Cadero Hopper? Or Mortimer Snurd or something?
What the deuce? You're all upset about
it. Bringing me on with that idiot music, like I'm some hokey piece of wood or something.
What were you trying to do?
This is the worst thing that's ever happened.
Oh, calm down. We were just trying to put a frame around you there.
It's real. Listen to that. It takes some jerk to come out.
No, but it's identifiable, you see. When they hear that, they'll know it's you.
You know, it's kind of a Rube Apple Knocker type of theme that makes me just look like an idiot.
Well, if you don't like it, we won't. I mean, everybody has a theme.
Look, let me put it this way. Would you like your folks at home to hear you introduced with that kind of a theme?
Well, I don't know. I guess maybe.
Remember the golden rule. If you have a... Oh, I forget it.
Right. We'll have a parting word from us and our announcer, Harley Thurston, in just 10 seconds.
Dunk-de-dunk.
You have that parting word, Harley?
For Jesus, dog, that I'll find in your thing, you may think the whole thing because of those... Oh, God.
Wonderful. That's it. Until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Fine,